If you would open your Bibles tonight to Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 3. You know, tonight's message is probably nothing that you've never heard before. And I think every time I preach this, I say this. It's a simple message. And the title of the message tonight is trust. Trust. But you know, we say that word and we say we trust in our Lord. And so many times it's an easy thing to say. But when it comes down to it, do we really trust in the Lord the way we ought to? Do we really trust Him? Let's look at the Bible verse. Most of us can probably quote this by heart. But Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 say, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." Let's bow in prayer. Our Father, we do thank You again for the evening and being able to be here at Calvary Baptist Church. And I thank You for the folks' hospitality today and how they've taken care of us and what a blessing they've been, Father. And I just pray that You would be with this message tonight, that You would speak to hearts. And again, I don't want to neglect saying, if there's someone here tonight that has not trusted You as their personal Savior, that they would do that this evening, Father. I pray that You would just help us as we think of this simple word and simple concept, but yet so many times it's difficult to trust the way we need to. I ask, Father, You just move in hearts this evening in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I was reading in a book, it was actually devotional book, thank you. I bring her along because she helps me think. It was a devotional book, and it was an illustration on trust. And I thought, what a great illustration on trust. How many have seen, when you go to the circus and you've seen trapeze artists, not that maybe you've never seen there, but you know what I'm talking about. And the trapeze, the people in the trapeze are way high above the ground. And when they practice, they usually have a net underneath them. So if they fall, you know, it catches them in the net. But they practice and practice and practice so they can take that net away. And part of the thrill of going to the circus is watching them swing high above the ground and you know, hoping that they don't fall. Well, when we think about that, those trapeze artists, when the circus is on and they're swinging, they release, they do flips in the air, and they let go. And most of the time, they don't even look. There's somebody that's going to catch them. And there's someone that's the catcher. And when we think about that, what a great illustration of what we're supposed to do through life. Swing, go through our things in life, and then reach, and the Lord will take care of us. And what a great illustration in my mind of that explains the trust that we should have in our Heavenly Father. And I thought, wow, that's a great illustration to use talking about trust. We just release and let God take care of us. But there are some things that we have to do. We have to be in His will. We have to be doing and living for Him the way we need to be. He's got a plan, as we talk about, for all of us. And He's got an order the way He does things. You know, I think tonight that of three areas in our lives that we may have trust in. I think our job. Are we trusting in our job to take care of us tonight? I wouldn't do that. I know my job has been diminished two or three times. Diminished, I guess that's a word. That's probably not the word I want. But cut two or three times. But the Lord has given me another job. How about our government? I don't know about you, but I don't really want to trust in our government. I mean, it's very unstable. It does what it needs to do. But our government trusts in us more than we trust in it for our money. What about each other? We trust in each other, but we let each other down, don't we? You know what? And we forgive each other, move on. That's what we're supposed to do. But, you know, we let each other down. But, you know, the only person that won't let us down, only one that won't let us down, I should say, is our Heavenly Father. We can trust in Him with all our hearts and commit our lives to Him, and He will take care of us. So when we think of that trust tonight, He is the one that will take care of us. Now let's look, just six quick points here. Some of them will go pretty quick, and some of them I'll talk about a little bit. But the first one is, who should be the object of our trust? I just mentioned it. The Lord should be the object of our trust. We see scripture passage after scripture passage pointing out those things. The passage that we read tonight here in Proverbs, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. We see that if you would turn to Psalm chapter 37. Psalm chapter 37 and verse 3. I'm going to motor along here. Psalm 37 and verse 3. We're going to read two verses in Psalms here. We see another scripture passage here. Psalm 37, 3 says, "Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." Another one, Psalm 118, verse 8. Psalm 118, verse 8. Psalm 118, verse 8. The Bible says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. And I can go on and go on. And we have many scripture passages about the object and who should be the object of our trust. It should be our Lord. It doesn't get any simpler than that. It's a very easy thing to say, but sometimes it's difficult to do. You know, we trust Him for our eternity. We trust Him for our salvation and eternity to spend time with Him in glory, but we don't trust Him with things on earth. And that's something that we need to think about. We need to trust Him with those things on earth. So we see the object of our trust ought to be the Lord. Then we see the method ought to be trust in the Lord. A couple great examples of that, if you would look at Daniel chapter 3. Hey guys, if you sit still, I got some treat for you afterwards, okay? I got some special down there, so just sit still and listen up. All right, we have a little thing down there on our display that's got some goodies in it. So I'll give one to you afterwards if you're good, okay? So Daniel chapter 3, and we know the story here of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the position that they were put into. You know, we see Nebuchadnezzar had built this idol and this image that he wanted everybody to bow down and to worship. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, no, we're not bowing down and worshiping anything but our God. And they're in this position. And I mean, everybody else is bowing down, but they're not. They're standing firm. Let's pick this up in verse 16. The Bible says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. Now, verse 17 is the focal verse we're looking at. They say, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. Now we see something here. They put their trust in the Lord, and the method was trusting in the Lord there. They put their trust in the Lord. You know what? They didn't put any conditions. Whether God delivered them from the fiery furnace or whether He let them die and they went home to be with Him, it was one way or the other, they knew that could happen. But they did not put a condition. So many times we put a condition on trusting in the Lord and doing what He wants. And we need to not do that. We need to trust in Him fully. And as they say, one way or the other, God was going to deliver them out of the king's hand, whether he delivered them out of the fiery furnace or whether He took them home. So the king was out of luck no matter what. God was taking care of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And another one would be in Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. And this is a stories that we've known and heard of for years. Abraham and Isaac. Genesis chapter 22. This is the time when Abraham and Isaac were going up the mountain, and Abraham was going to sacrifice his son because that's what God asked him to do, to see how faithful and if he trusted in Him. This was a test. Verse 7, the Bible says, and Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Isaac's wondering, hey, what's going on here? Verse 8, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide Himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And we know the story that God had promised, what God had promised Abraham through his son Isaac. But you know what? This was a testing time for Abraham, and he trusted God. Now I want you to notice something else in verse number 9. This is very important. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Now, this jumped out when I was studying this, really jumped out and hit me. The phrase in there where it says, and laid the wood in order. God has an order for all of us. He's got an order for things for us to do. And it's important that we follow that biblical order. It's all right here, folks. As I said before, it doesn't take a brain surgeon to figure out how to follow God's word. It's just a matter of doing what we're supposed to do and being obedient. But we see that there's an order, and it's important. If we expect God to be able to trust in God to take care of us, we have to do it His way. We have to do it His way. If we don't do it His way, you know, He's not obligated to take care of us, but He will if we do it His way. So we need to remember that. He has a plan and an order for all of us. So we saw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Isaac, and Abraham. And also another example, great example, would be Rahab. in the walls of Jericho. She allowed the spies to come into her home and stay there and protected them. And she did what God wanted her to do. And when the walls of Jericho fell down, her and her family were safe. That was a big risk for her. But she trusted what God said and she was obedient. So we see the object of our trust ought to be the Lord. The method should be trust in the Lord. And then the measure should be with all thine heart. Do you think Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were standing there timid? No, I think they stood there. They knew they had God on their side. They weren't concerned with life or death. They were concerned about being obedient to what God had for them. And they were committed to what God. I believe Abraham was committed. If the Lord would have allowed him to sacrifice his son, I believe he probably would have believed that God would have brought him back to life. Who knows? I'm not sure. But he did not allow him to do that, okay? But they were all committed to doing what God had them to do. We need to be committed. The measure ought to be when we serve the Lord and trust in the Lord, we ought to do it with all our heart. My dad always taught me, if it's worth doing something, do it with everything you got. And I agree with that. So we see the measure should be with all thine heart. Then we see, number four, the warning. The warning. And that is, lean not on thine own understanding. That's where we get into trouble, folks. When we start looking and thinking about doing things our own way, we lean on our own thoughts, we get into trouble. Let's look at a couple people that did that. Achan in Joshua chapter 7 and verse 24. Joshua chapter 7 and verse 24. Joshua 7 and verse 24. And the Bible says, "And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his sheep, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones, and burned them with fire, after they had stoned them with stones." We see a couple things here. First of all, we see that Achan had given in to his flesh and thinking, hey, I can use these things. This can help me and my family, even though he was told not to touch any of that stuff. So he took those things and he sinned. And Israel was in trouble and got into trouble and lost a battle because of that. But also, I want you to notice something else. Men, especially here tonight, when we sin, when we get into trouble, when we lean our own understanding, it affects our whole family. And we need to remember that. It affects our whole family. It does not just affect us. When we get into trouble, when we start leaning on our own understanding and not leaning on God and trusting in Him, we see how Achan's family was in trouble. Another example, and for sake of time we won't turn there, but King Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 28, when he went to the witch of Endor he was trying to get a hold of God, but he was not living. A great example of God's not going to deal with you and work with you if you don't live the way you're supposed to. And King Saul was in trouble, and the Lord was ignoring him at that time. And he went to the witch of Endor to try and get information, try and get a hold of Samuel who had died. And again, a few verses prior to that, we see where King Saul put those people out of the land. He knew that the witches and those that do those things, the spirit people or whatever, I don't know the words I want thinking of right now, but those people that are into that type of stuff, he knew it was wrong and he put them out of the land. But because he started leaning on his own understanding, he went and did the wrong thing. So often that happens to us. When we lean on our own understanding, we get into trouble. It's a great example there. Ananias and Sapphira, other example of some people in the New Testament who tried to pull one over on God, leaning on their own understanding, and the Lord, and they died because they lied to the Lord. And then one other one I can think of is Uzzah. Uzzah, if you remember the story of Uzzah, he was helping by the Ark of the Covenant. And first of all, the Israelites were moving the Ark the wrong way on a new cart, and it wasn't supposed to be done. And nobody was allowed to touch the Ark of the Covenant. There was a certain order, as we mentioned, God has that order and plan, that He wanted the Ark to be carried. And they were moving it the wrong way. Well, as the Ark went to fall, Uzzah touched it and he died. Nobody was supposed to touch that. But think about that. If we were standing there and it went to fall, we would probably go to do it because, you know, we would think that. So you kind of understand Uzzah thinking, but yet he was being disobedient and not doing it God's way. And he died when he touched the Ark of Covenant. So it's so important that we follow the plan and the order that God has for us. So we see the warning, lean not on our own understanding. Then we see the occasion, in all thy ways we are to acknowledge him, in all thy ways. And when you acknowledge someone, it literally means to know them, to know. Well, when we think about acknowledging our Lord, when we in all thy ways acknowledge him, to know him, that shows of a relationship. And we need to have that personal relationship with our Lord to know what we need to do. Not only am I talking about salvation, but through our daily walk, we need to have that personal relationship. Spend time with our Lord so we know what he has for us. And then finally, because I'm about out of time, the promise. And I've got a little bit of a personal testimony. The promise at the end says, he shall direct thy path. Or does it say paths? It says paths. Praise the Lord for that. He shall direct thy paths. Now, just in closing here, when we went to the Arctic, my wife and I went on a survey trip in June to Arctic Canada. And a couple more minutes, guys, and we'll be all done here. But we went on a survey trip. 2 weeks before we went on that survey trip, I was having some pain in my side, and I was having some pain in my leg. And I thought, somebody said, it was real sensitive. Somebody says, you're getting shingles. I'm like, here I'm getting ready to go out in the middle of nowhere, and I'm getting shingles. I was not tickled about that, but I thought, okay, well, we'll live with it if we have to. So, but it was 2 weeks before, and this had been bothering me for about 10 days, and I was working up in the Cleveland market one day, and I was walking with somebody and doing some things, and my leg, the back of my leg, I thought it was going to blow up. I thought, what in the world's going on? Well, I went home that night, told my wife, I said, I need to go to the doctor and see what's going on. I was more concerned about my side than the leg. And she says, okay, so got me into the doctor on a Thursday morning, and the doctor says, Todd, if that's shingles, those things should have broken out by now. He says, I don't think that's what it is. He says, what about your leg? So he's feeling around my leg. He says, well, you know what? I don't know what's going on there, but he said, if you'd like, we can send you in for a blood test and just double check. I said, nah, I don't want to go in for a blood test. I'm typical. I don't want to have anything to do with the hospital. So, but he sat there and he looked at my leg again and he said, no, I want you to go have a blood test taken. So I went and had the blood test taken. That night, the doctor's office calls and said, Mrs. Holland, we need you to get your husband to the emergency room. There's a room waiting for him in the cardiac floor. I said, what's up with that? Well, to make a long story short, I had a blood clot in my leg and I had one in my lung. I had no idea that's what it was. And what happened, a piece of that blood clot, how it got in my lung, had broken off, went through my heart up into my lung. And so I'm thinking, wow, but I had none of the symptoms of somebody with blood clots. I wasn't short of breath or anything like that. Well, that was a Friday. We're talking to the doctor. And I said, hey, we're leaving on a trip in 2 weeks. Tickets are paid for. He says, you're not going. I said, we have to go. We're going. This is a mission trip. He says, well, as long as you're not going up in the middle of nowhere. That's where we were going, up in the middle of nowhere. And he says, I don't know. He says, well, here, he thought about it. He says, if you can get your blood tested each week, and because I was on blood thinners, put me on blood thinners. He says, if you get your blood tested each week, he says, you can go. Well, we called my father-in-law. He was up there. And he said, do you know what that's like to get that socialistic government, with the medicine, the way it is, to allow to have that done? He said, that's next to impossible. He says, but I'll see what I can do. So he went to the nursing station. 45 minutes later, he calls back and says, it's fine. They'll take your insurance card, bill your insurance company, everything's good. So we said, okay. Doc says, go ahead, just make sure you get your blood tested. So we get up there, and we got there on a Friday or Saturday, I think it was. Tuesday, I went and had my blood taken, and I walked in there. Mind you, this is a nursing station. That's all it is. It's not a hospital or even an urgent care. It's a nursing station. And the lady that came and took my blood, she looked at my sheet, and she goes, blood clot? What are you doing here? I said, I'm a missionary. We're going to start a church up here in Norman Wells and work the Saul II region. She goes, oh, she says, do you realize that you are 5 hours from the nearest hospital and that's by airplane? I said, mm-hmm. Well, at that time, folks, I realized the word trust hit me right between the eyes. You know what? I'm doing what God wants me to do. Now, it's we live in a sin-cursed world. Because of sin, we're all going to die physically. It's just going to happen. It all happens at some time in our life. But you know what? When we're doing what God wants us to do, when we're in the center of His will, I don't care where you're at. As long as you're doing what He wants you to do and He wants you on this earth, you're going to be there. And it just hit me that way. I'm thinking, wow, trust. I need to trust in Him. Now, and this is a thing in my life, and I struggle with this a little bit, but this is a thing in my life that I absolutely have no control over. None whatsoever. I can't do anything to change. I have a genetic trait that my blood clots faster than other people. And it's nothing I can do about it except just, you know, live my life. And I have to trust in Him to take care of me. So I hope tonight that this message spoke to you a little bit. I blew through it pretty quick here. But trusting, who are you trusting tonight to take care of you? It's so easy to say, I'm trusting the Lord. But do we really trust Him the way we ought to? Do we really trust Him in those times? Do we look to Him? So many times I know I do things and I try and figure out things and then I go to Him later. That's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to go to Him first. Let's bow in prayer this evening. Our Father, we do thank You again for this evening. I thank You for the folks here at Calvary again, Father. I just pray tonight that this short message here on trust spoke to someone's heart, Father, whether they may be struggling with something physically or something in their life, who knows what, Father. I just pray that You would just move in hearts tonight. And I thank You for Your love and thank You for being there, Father, for us, that we can trust in You to take care of those needs in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.